Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Rewind, the podcast that rewatches, reviews, and has the most awkward dinner party for every movie, show, one-shot, and special presentation in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm Tony Camarena.
And I'm Al Rodriguez.
And you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, apparently TikTok also, though we're not going to use it ever, at MCU_Rewind in most places. And you can rate us on your favorite podcast app, which is really the best thing you do for any podcast. Also, let us know what you want to hear in a future Skrull episode, where we transform our episodes into our podcast into something new, something different. Let us know on any of those social medias or mcrewind@gmail.com. No underscore in that one. And today's episode is about Iron Fist Season 2, Episode 3, The Deadly Secret. Original air date, September 7th, 2018.
Yeah, and Tony, I think you forgot to mention, tell everyone to give us a rating, and specifically, when you give any kind of review, you need to tell us what kind of accent you want us to read it with, okay? Just that way we can do it properly, as you intended, the listener. Okay. All right.
also, if you are anonymously sending in as a celebrity, celebrity impressions as well. We will attempt that poorly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Easier? No, probably not. It's just as bad. Just as bad. All right. Here is the overview of what happens in this episode. Danny washes the blood off of his clothes when Colleen wakes up, and the two have a couple's argument on whether Danny is doing the right thing or not. Danny is stressed over the parlay agreement between the Triad and the Tigers. Separately, Ward tries to confront the people at his NA meeting to find out if one of them told his sister that he's in those meetings. It doesn't go well, so he storms out of the meeting and meets up with Danny. Ward says that Davos and Joy have teamed up, so the plan is to all get together into a room and talk like four grown adults, where two of them solve the majority of their problems with big action fights. The dinner meeting happens, and is as awkward as you would expect. They're all hiding their real intentions in their own way. They argue and yell, and then nothing comes from it. Also, Ward doesn't make it to the dinner because he goes back to his NA meeting to talk to his sponsor. Completely separate from all that, Joy meets with a woman, Sophia Rios, to make a business deal that has to do with one of the patents she got from Rand. Apparently, this has nothing to do with what she's doing with Davos. It's just a separate thing. We'll see if this matters later. Also, Colleen breaks into a building owned by Frank Choi. She finds a ledger of some kind. Danny receives an envelope from Mary, so he chases her down. She's acting all weird and not answering any questions. She says someone is watching him, someone named Walker. And finally, Colleen and Danny are asked to join a parlay meeting between the Hatchets and the Tigers. It devolves into a fight very quickly.
All right, let's move on to our fast facts.
On your left.
Uh-huh, on my left. Got it.
Stop! Damn it! Jesus, you are fast.
Stay away.
Look, I don't want to hurt you.
You didn't see that coming?
I'm just going to start with the title. The Deadly Secret. Is it This Deadly Secret or The Deadly Secret? Whatever.
I have to scroll up. This Deadly Secret.
Okay. I've written two places and different in two places. All right, in This Deadly Secret, his title comes from Power Man and Iron Fist number 99, original premiered in November of 1983. And I got a little from mycomicshop.com, the little summary of what happens in this. So it's part 3 of 4. I did not look at the context for the other three parts. But Luke and Danny wash up ashore, defeated by who? I don't know. Meanwhile, Misty Knight and Colleen and El Aguila fight for their lives against a cadre of armed guards and the savage attack of Pharah, plus the rival of Master Khan, an uber baddie from Kunlun. Don't know what most of that means other than Luke and Danny washing up on the shore.
Yeah, okay. I looked into that a little, but it looks like it's mostly a Daughters of the Dragon comic for like that issue.
Well, yeah, so I mean, those guys got washed up. Only, like, Misty showed up in this episode.
Yeah, too bad. She's like, I mean, I think she'll show up eventually in this show. That would be cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Tony, do you have anything else? Any other fast facts or anything?
I do.
Oh, crap. Okay, go ahead. Go for it.
Okay.
Mention yours.
All right, well, there's a character named Chen Wu. He's got some... The actor, Fernando Chien, has some nerd cred. He played two other Marvel characters. He was an extremist soldier in Iron Man 3. And he was... his name's Gao Lei in Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings. He's one of the guys who was like a henchman of Razor Fist fighting Shang-Chi in the on the bus scene. He's also mostly a stunt performer. Captain America Civil War, Avengers Endgame, The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, and Star Trek Beyond. But his character, Chen Wu, appeared in one issue of Iron Fist number 8 back in June of 1976. He was a member of the Golden Tigers under command of Shaka Khan, who I don't think is the same Shaka Khan that people know as a singer, but I don't know. I didn't click on the link. And he tried to get control of the racket from the Magia, who's kind of a, if I remember correctly, a Italian mob we've heard in Punisher and Daredevil. But he was opposed and defeated by Iron Fist. So yeah, Iron Fist number 8 back in June of 1976. So yeah, those are my Easter eggs.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So you don't have much. I guess. Yeah. You found the actor. All right.
Character from the comic.
That's what I mean. Like the character, yeah. The actor played that character. Yeah. Yeah. Oh boy. I tried. I think I might have something. I'm hoping you give me some leeway because yours weren't. Like,
hey, that was a character from the comic.
Yeah, but you do those. All right, fine. All right.
Those are Easter eggs.
Okay. So here's my Easter egg. Here's the one that I could loosely get. I think I might be able to get away with this one. So Joy Meacham, she has that meeting with the character Sophia Rios. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about using some patent that Joy got for the photovoltaic solar cell patents basically for solar cell stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
From what I've gleaned from that,
it needs to connect to the comics wider MCU.
I'm getting there. So from what I gathered from that, this is hinting at who the big bad villain would have been in season 3, assuming the show got one. And this would have been Solar, who is in the comics a mutant. Right, but because this is before mutants were like a thing in the MCU, I mean, they're still not really, right? Mm-hmm. Barely, we've got one mutant in the MCU.
Yeah.
So because of that, he probably would have been something else. I'm assuming it would have been tech-based because the Inhumans were really just kind of saved for the ABC stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like they still had, like, even though it was kind of one Marvel television, they still had their fiefdoms of like what they would and wouldn't use. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, they were talking about creating Solar, the supervillain.
Is Solar at all involved with Iron Fist?
Oh, you know what? That is a very good question.
If they are, I will accept it. If not, I know what our next scroll episode is.
Yes, he did appear in the Power Man and Iron Fist Volume 1, Number 113. Sorry, this is my. I'm just now looking this up. So yes, it looks like this guy did fight Iron Fist.
Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. I will accept it because it connects to Iron Fist comics. I'm not happy about it, Al, but I'll accept it.
Yes. All right. Let's see. I'm scrolling through the overview of this, and yeah, he shows up. There's some stuff.
What's Solar's powers? Kind of,
oh boy. Oh man. You know, I was looking at this earlier, and now I can't remember. And I close. Let's see. It. Oh God. This is not the site I was expecting. Let's see. So he's a mutant. Real name: Silius King. S-I-A-L-I-S. Here we go. Power's abilities is mutant power to absorb heat from the sun and redirect it as powerful heat energy, which he generally projected from his hands. Solar power blasts can reach a heat of 20,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
I mean, that's pretty hot.
Yeah.
I just feel like he's a worse version of... Who's Kevin Bacon's character in First Class? Who could absorb powers and then, like, redisperse it?
I do not remember. I don't remember Kevin Bacon being in First Class.
Well, I'll tell you this. From a scrubbed episode of Skrulls, that's like before we were lucky enough to get Cheo Hadari Coker on the show, we were going to cover Phoenix and Dark Phoenix from the X-Men animated series. His name was Sebastian Shaw. I'm remembering it right now because he was surprisingly in the Dark Phoenix saga. I did not know. He surprised me. He's also quite a swashbuckler in that.
Okay.
Maybe we'll cover it someday.
Yeah. I mean, we watch those things. We'll do them at some point.
Yeah, watch, I feel like I have to watch them again.
Yeah.
That also, sorry for all the big X-Men fans. It also showed me that I'm probably not going to watch X-Men the Anime Series, because if I did not enjoy those episodes, I'm not going to sit through 70-something to watch the 10 new episodes.
Yeah. I'll probably watch the new ones and like a few other episodes. Tony, you said you were going to try to watch, like, you started from the beginning.
I did. I watched four episodes. It's like, it was a slog. All right, then we were going to do that. Like, one of the best arcs. And if I'm not feeling like one of the best arcs, I don't think the show's for me.
Okay. Yeah. I watched the first episode and then said, I remember this. I watched it. It was on like all the time as a kid, right? You know, you always saw the first one a lot. And then I stopped, which sucked because it was a two-parter. So I don't know. I don't remember how it ends.
Yep, I made it through the two-parter, and then I gave it two more, and I watched five more way far down the line.
It's hard to watch those shows as an adult, right? Like, I know this because I've done it. Within the past 10 years, I have gone and rewatched all episodes of Power Rangers. And so I know how hard it is to watch these things as an adult.
Yeah, this is true. I agree. But I also have recently rewatched Batman the Animated Series.
Well, yeah, but that was good.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah. And it had quality.
It was like that and like Avatar and, you know, some more modern stuff. It's just like there's some really good stuff, but not all the classics are really good.
There's a difference in how things are made, I think. Like, you have a kids' show that's made for all ages, right? Like, anyone can enjoy it.
Yep.
Versus a kids' show that is made specifically just for kids. And I feel like, you know, there's a range, right? It's a spectrum. And I feel like the X-Men 99 stuff was way closer to the for kids kind of stuff. Versus Batman Animated Series.
I actually kind of disagree with that. I don't know if it's for kids as much because it's like working with some heady and like complex issues and strong romance and sacrifice. It's super melodramatic. It's really close to the X-Men comics. Like, they really got the tone of the X-Men comics for better and worse.
Oh, God. All right. Well, I'm glad I didn't read them. Okay. All right. I mean, I only watched a few episodes, so I don't really know. But maybe I just saw how melodramatic it was and just made assumptions. But yeah, I mean, you're right. It definitely had a lot of adult stuff going on that, like, kids just wouldn't care. And maybe that's also why I didn't care for it too much when I was a kid. Like, for that show specifically.
Well, I feel like... I'm not someone who's ever really gotten into or watched anime, but my perception of anime is also super melodramatic. And I wonder if, like, people who were getting into Dragon Ball Z and watching X-Men at this time were the same kids. So I wonder if it's like, I'm just not into that type of melodrama.
Oh, yeah, that could be it.
But I will play Final Fantasy, which is just as melodramatic.
All right. Hey, Tony, do you know who else is melodramatic?
Iron Fist.
Specifically Danny Rand. Yes.
Oh, yeah. He is. It's not Orson Randall. All right, let's move on to our heroes.
It is one thing to question the official story and another thing entirely to make wild accusations or insinuate that I'm a superhero.
I never said you were a superhero.
Didn't?
Mm-mm.
Well, good, because that would be outlandish and fantastic.
I saw you. You're a hero. Like,
a for real superhero, which is, I'm not like a groupie stalker type. But
it's too late for heroes.
Heroes, your word, not mine.
So where do we want to begin?
Let's start at the beginning. We've got
that's a very good place to start.
Yes, I agree. It should always start at the beginning. The episode starts and Danny and Colleen are kind of having this little argument, right? Like, mm-hmm. he's working too much. He's, you know, going out at all hours of the night and fighting and all that. And this comes up with, Colleen brings up that Danny is doing all of this because Matt Murdock said, hey, do me a favor, protect my city once I die, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's in the wrong neighborhood, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I wanted to bring up. Like, it seems like Danny is assuming all of New York, whereas Matt Murdock was like, I kind of just need Hell's Kitchen. Like,
he's focusing, you say all of New York, he's focusing on Chinatown. Much like Matt Murdock, he's focusing on the 3 or 4 blocks around his house. Which, you know, yes, he's doing what Matt Murdock did, but not the way Matt Murdock wants him to do it. I'm not considering a spoiler because it was the post credit scene of Defenders or like Endgame scene. We know that Matt's alive. In like a potential Defenders 2 or Iron Fist 3, where Matt Murdock comes, is he just going to come at him as like, what the hell, man?
Oh, wait, is who going to who?
Matt Murdock, when he's resumed his life, coming to Danny and just like, I gave you a mission. You could have literally punched it all, but just in the right spot.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Danny does say, he in his mind, it is all of New York, but he only knows about the problems here. Like, to be fair, this is a problem. Like, yeah. It is affecting people's lives. I mean, back in, the opening scene of last week's episode, right? In episode 2, like, Danny was just walking, and he just saw one of the tigers, like, just fall over dead, right? Because the hatches, like, hatcheted him. And, like,
yeah.
I assume other people see stuff like this happening, going down, so.
Well, yeah. I mean, you say he doesn't know about the rest of New York. He knows stuff's going down in Harlem.
That's true. Yeah, he did know about that.
Yeah. So, let's see. I'm just trying to figure out. I feel like not a lot of stuff happened in this episode.
Yeah. This is one of those times where I was kind of going to leave it to you to drive because I don't have a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, I don't want to recount everything that happens, so just like, Ward calls Danny for support for this dinner party with Joy and Davos.
Yeah, I mean, this is another scenario where Danny is naive, right? He thinks this is going to work. We're going to talk it all out. We're all going to share our feelings and all of that. But, you know, you get to the actual evening and you find out why everyone's angry and stuff. And nothing Danny can do, right? Joy says that she's angry that he lied about her dad being around and now he's dead again. And I don't know. I feel like she also needs to let go of some stuff. I feel like there's a little bit of, I don't want to say overreacting. Well, yes, overreacting, considering what I know of the rest of the season, of what her plan is with Davos.
I'm not going to say it yet. I mean, I vaguely remember. When you become this is not like, you know, saying someone's overreacting, saying a woman's overreacting can be construed as sexist. I'm saying if you become a super villain, you're overreacting. no matter what the scenario is.
Yeah, there's limits to things. Yes, and she has passed that limit for given the scenario of like what she says she is upset about. Like, all right. And then Davos, on the other hand, you know, he's just he has some valid criticisms of Danny, But also, he's going about this the wrong way.
Oh, yeah.
He's, like, he can at least try to convince Danny, like, hey, listen, you're like, kind of wasting your power as the Iron Fist. You should do a better job, man.
And you failed, because Kunlun's gone.
That too, yes.
Yeah.
Maybe, probably. I mean,
and they know, Kunlun is gone.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
I mean, Shang-Chi and Katie could drive that car they drove into Ta-Lo to Kunlun, probably. But Danny and Davos can't get there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, they have the driving skills. They're one of them is a New Yorker and one of them is a Kunluner.
Yeah, not really car people.
Hey, since it's going to be like literally like half a decade till we reach Shang-Chi, how did people get to Ta-Lo if they didn't have cars?
Oh, I know the answer to this.
Okay.
All right. Now I can't remember.
To refresh the memory, both Wenwu and Sean Katie driving, they use their cars through that maze thing to get to Ta-Lo, and they went too slow or too fast, they would get eaten up by the forest. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, they ran. Maybe they had horses. You know, they just had the path memorized. But also, we saw, sorry, a little bit of a spoiler, but we didn't cover this. So, spoilers for season two of What If. There was that episode, right, where they went, and it was the one with that was the one with Hela, right? Where she was sent away to Earth, Thor style.
Mm-hmm.
And then that one, they ended up
In Ta-Lo.
In Ta-Lo, right? Is that the one, or am I mixing that up with something?
I mean, that is the one where she fights Wenwu and stuff like that, and they become allies, lovers, however you want to interpret it. I don't remember that episode. I mean, I remember liking, just like all the What If episodes, I haven't rewatched any of them. So I don't really remember what happens.
Same here. I just remember seeing the scene where they go to Ta-Lo and thinking, all right, they made this a lot easier. Again, she is a god, essentially, right? She's an Asgardian. Mm-hmm. So like, all right, things are going to be easier for her compared to humans. But I remember thinking it wasn't as difficult. I mean, she did have the guide, right? She had the little wing monster.
Guy. Yeah, the faceless guy.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah, I forgot his name because he gets a name in the Shang-Chi movie, right?
Yes, he does. Morris. His name is Morris.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I think as long as you know the path, you're pretty much good. You know, and you're in decent enough shape, you could probably keep up with running.
I'm skeptical, but I'll accept it. Maybe I'll go rewatch What If.
Okay.
Going back before the dinner a little bit, Danny's there in his apartment, and then an envelope gets shoved under the door. And Danny takes maybe a good 30 seconds of looking at the envelope before he decides to look out the door and see what happened. Mary... not good at this undercover spy stuff.
Definitely bad at it. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah. No, when you do that, when you slip something under someone's door, you need to go in the opposite direction. You need to go up the stairs so they don't see you, right? They'll think you're going for the elevator or something.
Yeah. She acts all weird because she is weird. Begs him not to open it and says he's being followed by someone in Walker. And my mind first went to Trish Walker.
Yeah, same here.
I want Mary back. I don't remember where she ends up in the end of the season, but it's like maybe she could team up with Trish as she seems to be going down a darker path. Maybe they're cousins or something.
Yeah, maybe. It's a possibility. Yeah, sure.
But suddenly she becomes really good at getting away because she just Batmans away. She, like, literally disappears.
Yeah, exactly. As a as Danny's looking at the photos. He just looks down for like 2 seconds and she's gone.
Yeah. I mean, we've already talked about her multiple personality disorder, or dissociative identity disorder is actually the way to say it. Yeah. So do you think at that moment, Mary, like, or Walker, like, asserted control and just like, oh crap, and stealthily got away?
That is what I was assuming. Yeah. We do see her later in the episode, and yeah, she has switched over to, I forget the name of the, to Walker, it's right? Walker, she switched over. She is Walker now. So yeah, maybe that's the moment it happened.
Mm-hmm. Back to the awkward dinner party, since we already kind of talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Davos calls her out, and he says he remembers a true test that she walked away from.
When I don't say recall. Her, no, Colleen?
Colleen, I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah.
Not Walker. I honestly don't remember what that true test was. What was she supposed to do that she walked away from that Davos was disappointed in?
God, all right. I mean, even I don't remember. Ugh. Okay. I was hoping you would. Oh!
You're the only other person here. Who am I supposed to ask?
I think I know what it was.
Okay.
In the one of the final episodes of the season, she had a chance to kill the guy that was her master, right? The hand guy?
Yeah, Bushido.
Was that his name? Bushido? Okay, I couldn't remember. And then she like let him live. And then he like ran off or something.
Yeah, because I remember him being in Defenders.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, wait. Davos was in Defenders, though. That's what threw me off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's all I can think of. Maybe it's something like that. Like, she could have killed someone to essentially save people, but she didn't. And that's a kind of test.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so they get Joy and Davos for righteous and nefarious reasons. They get mad and they leave. I do respect Colleen for calling out Joy and Davos. Just like...
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why this show only needed to be 10 episodes, because we have someone like Colleen who would just talk to people instead of dancing around it the whole time. So they had cut off 3 episodes because she just got through so much plot.
Yeah, exactly. Well, to be fair, okay, so she has to make up for Danny, right? Because Colleen is very direct. Mm-hmm. Danny doesn't... excel at the social situations, so he wasn't really sure what to say or do. And then Davos and Joy, well, they're, you know, really good at this. Well, Joy's really good at it. Davos is learned. he's better, but like he has a goal. He knows not to tell the truth, basically. And that's pretty much it. But yeah, so as a result, Colleen has to be extra direct to make up for Danny.
Yeah. All right, yeah, so they leave. And then Mrs. Yang calls, and they go out for the parlay.
Yeah, yeah, they act as her bodyguards, essentially.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Bodyguards muscle. So when Danny comes in, he's got his mask on, covering the wrong side of his face for the Iron Fist, but whatever.
Hey.
They say, remove your weapons, and she says, Danny is the weapon, and, you know, he tightens his fist, and his hands squeak like they do in action movies, and that got me questioning, is that a real thing? Like, if I got in a really good shape, would my hands squeak, or is, like, do I need, like, moisturize less? At what point do your hands squeak?
If you have bad arthritis.
Yeah, I mean, I bet having the Iron Fist, like, does take a toll. Like,
I know. Yeah, maybe.
Actually.
Yeah.
The opposite. Probably reinforces it and stops arthritis.
Probably. Yeah. Cause I guess, right? Cause you gotta be able to keep using it in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I don't know. Or is this something like eventually your fist just breaks and then you as a person die? And that's how they know it's time to get another Iron Fist.
Yep. I'm going to go with that one.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure what the process is for knowing.
It doesn't answer my squeaking hand question, but mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, so they go in. Nothing. Yeah, they go in. Danny sees some suspicious people outside. So it's like the solution to every problem. He iron fists the table. Well, after they tell him to
Well, kind of, yeah, right? Like, he said, he tried to do the peaceful thing. He said, hey, I don't like this. We need to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't find anything out in this episode. So, a little bit of a spoiler. But, yeah, next week we find out he was right, right? Essentially, right? Like, there's more to it. We'll talk about it then. But, yeah, he was essentially right. Like, he saw something. It didn't look good. He had to get his, you know, the client out, essentially, right? So,
Yep.
And then that devolved into a fight very quickly. Yeah. Yep.
And that's, I think, pretty much it for Danny.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all I've got. Yeah.
Now we got a little bit for Colleen. She breaks into Mr. Choi's furniture store. And BB, that gang kid, the gang member kid, follows her in because I feel like he's probably been following her all day. He probably knows about Walker, honestly.
they see each other. They say hi.
Yeah. They're just
high five as they cross paths.
Exactly. yeah, and she finds the ledger and some cash. Yep. Yeah. Clues, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll see what they're clues to later, because this is it.
Yeah. And then the other scene I want to talk about with her is when she's escorting Mrs. Yang out while Danny's punching the table. She tries to take down one guy, and he actually knocks her down. But Mrs. Yang comes in and stabs him in the eye. And she seems very happy to see this, either murder or extreme maiming.
Oh, she was happy?
She was smiling. She was smiling.
Oh, I misunderstood then. I could have sworn she was more like a horrified thing, but okay.
Yeah. All right. I mean, she's always had the dark side with her fights and her like fighting pits and stuff in the first season.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah. Alright. I think we're done with our heroes.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So let's take a quick break and then we'll talk about some villains.
Welcome to Baskin Robbins. Would you like to try our mango fruit blast?
And Jerry's named a flavor after me, so
Star Craving Hazelnuts.
Not bad.
For your consideration, the chair.
Tony, when you had beef with the West Side Bandidos, how did you make sure your negotiation meetings were safe?
I invited the Iron Foot.
Exactly. You called a parlay. And the only way to guarantee the rules of parlay are followed by both sides is to get a third party involved. This is where you need the best, the absolute very best of the pretty good. You need RAN Parlay Negotiations. The fine people at RAN Parlay Negotiations will guarantee your meetings go as planned, with no interruptions from nefarious individuals like aliens, one side cheating the system, and tax auditors. And just in case someone is able to get past the security screenings of the fine people at RAN Parlay Negotiations, they will make sure you get out safe and sound. I don't know how, but it involves a glowing fist and explosives. Lots of explosives. So the next time you need to ensure a parlay meeting goes smoothly, call our friends at RAN Parlay Negotiations, the only trusted name in parlay meetings. And use promo code MC Rewind to get a free negotiator who can summon an iron fist. An iron fist is what they call a Molotov cocktail.
So many explosions.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah.
All right, moving on to our villains.
I ask you, to what end? Dread it? Run from it? Destiny arrives all the same.
Anytime, boys. Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra!
Kill Luke Cage. Kill Jessica Jones. And the devil of Hell's Kitchen, whoever he is.
His name is Matthew. And my name is Electra Nachos. You work for me now.
I was going to ask, like, why does she need photovoltaic solar cell patents? But you really figured it out with Solar. So, I don't know what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
I do want to mention that photovoltaic cells are just a scientific word for solar cells.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, she might have a cool version of it, but as far as we know, it's like it's just regular solar cells.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe she wants to... Maybe she had some idea, like, hey, maybe we made this patent, like, 10 years ago, and now the technology is good enough to actually make it, and she just wants to make money off of it. I don't know. I don't think anything comes from this meeting ever in the rest of the season, because that actress only shows up in this episode.
I don't care, too.
Yeah, so... I don't think much happens. There is kind of a one-off line in next week's episode about this, but we'll talk about that then. Yeah.
I was going to ask you, like, that was like, do you remember her ulterior motive? Because I sure do. I mean, I know part of her plan, but I don't know how this would fit into it. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Davos, when they get the invitation to dinner, Davos shows he's just as naive as Danny sometimes, where Davos thinks it's just a dinner, and Joy's like, a dinner is never just a dinner. But it's Danny, so it was kind of just a dinner.
Yeah, exactly. Really, with a little bit of an ulterior motive. But it's like the thing you do over dinner anyway, talk to people.
Exactly.
Like in this case, it makes sense that they would try to repair relationship like that. That seems pretty obvious.
Well, yeah, but also, like, though he didn't show up, Ward was going to be there, and that's an ulterior motive.
That's true. Yeah, that would have definitely changed the whole thing. I mean, granted, Joy and Davos essentially stormed out at some point. I feel like if Ward showed up, they would have stormed out sooner.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine much would have come from him showing up, given what we saw of how they were otherwise.
I know Ward isn't as bad, like, legitimately, like, villain as he was in season one. But I do want to see Davos punch him in the throat.
Why?
Because he's just a bad person. But I don't think Danny would punch him, so it's like...
Yeah, all right, we'll give you that.
I'm tired. Okay. I'm tired of Ward. We're not even there yet.
Oh, man. I mean, he's a big character in season three, so I don't know. Right? Yeah.
Okay. To be fair, no spoilers, but where he ends up in the end of season two, I would like to see how he goes in season three.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much all of these characters. Yep.
Yeah, that's true. It's, like, it's not a surprise for any of them. Yeah. Moving on to Davos, I guess, because I think we're done with Joy. He finds the photos that Mary sent him, and that's one of the 14 reasons they storm out. But they go to see Walker, right? And Mary's there probably with the headphones and twitches, and Walker takes control. And she asks them to leave politely, and Davos threatens to make them tell her. And there's a standoff. She pulls out, I believe, machetes and holds them to his throat.
Yeah, I didn't really look at them. One of them definitely looked like a machete. And the other, I think it was two separate weapons. Okay. I just didn't really get a good look at what the second one was. But yeah, two sharp sword type objects.
Yep. So I'm sure the standoff will be resolved very quickly. Yep, but we'll see. Anything else for our villains?
No, nothing else. Yeah.
All right, we're zooming through this episode, and that's not always a good sign. All right, moving on to Guy in the Chair.
Guy in the Chair.
I think that's what I want to do. Is help people with abilities.
No. Not those three wombats. No way.
Ward, yet again, has not been punched in the throat. So
that is true. That did not happen in this episode. We'll keep a tally how many episodes since Ward was last punched in the throat.
Yeah, so far it has been 15 or 16 episodes.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think he wasn't punched in the throat in the first season, right? I think I'd remember that.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, he's a jerk at NA, but at least he's participating this time.
Yeah, yeah. I've never been to these meetings. My only view into them is through, you know, TV shows and stuff like that. I feel like some people are jerks regularly. So, I mean, par for the course in that, you know, some people will be like this. So you kind of get used to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's still not that much of an excuse.
Yeah. I mean, he's on the edge of relapse, goes to talk to his sponsor. Doesn't sleep with her this time.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Only because she tells him to leave.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. I mean, you have the opportunity. Yeah. And that's the end of Ward in this episode.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, 12% of the plan.
Please tell me you have something.
I've got nothing. Yeah, yeah, we really zoomed through this episode. It's our lack of tangents. I feel like if we removed all of our tangents, we would have like really tight like half hour episodes.
Yeah, I've got to say, dude. We had a like 10-minute tangents about X-Men.
yeah, we did. yeah, we did. Tony, I think I know your answer here. How do you rate this episode?
I know my value. Anyone else's opinion doesn't really matter.
Earth just lost your best defender. So we're here to fight.
Strongest Avenger.
Access denied.
Strongest Avenger.
Access denied.
Damn you, Stark.
Banner.
Welcome, Strongest Avenger.
Oh, what?
How many...
Oh, sorry. Tony, who...
Actually, you do it.
I do it? Oh, God. All right. I never remember how this... That's right, because I read the intro. Tony, how many lack of... How many tangents do you give this episode? Just how many tangents? I got nothing.
I was going to go with throat punches.
Oh, yeah. That would be good, too. But, maybe but, you can use that next week.
How many... Well, if you get punched in the throat. I will give this episode... Yeah, I'm going to give this episode, like, two. Two tangents. The X-Men tangent and, you know what? We only had one tangent in this episode? Really?
I mean, we talked about, like, cartoons and stuff.
Oh, and the Shang-Chi. Yeah, yeah. And the Shang-Chi tangent.
Okay, yeah. All right, there we go.
How many? What are you giving this?
I am also giving it two. When I watched this episode, I was very tired, but I like, given my weekend schedule, I was like, yeah, this is the best time to watch it. So I watched it, and I remember by the end thinking, like, I just don't have anything to say about this episode. And I thought it was because I was so tired. Now, sitting here, you and I talked about it. No, it just, it was like, I don't know what to say. Like, was it a filler episode, I guess? Like, because filler episodes are usually a completely different thing, right? Like, this episode had stuff go on, but I feel like they really could have compacted this and put a lot of the stuff into another episode. Like, it feels like this episode existed because they had to hit the episode count for the season.
I feel like this episode existed to set up other things and to move, just get characters in the same room. Like, literally, it was just for that, so they could find out, yell at each other for a little bit.
That's true, yeah. And also, now, everyone, all these characters, are on the same page, for the most part, right?
Except for Ward.
That's true.
The major character, the four important characters are on the same page.
Ward a little bit too, in that at the beginning Ward told Danny, he was like, hey, I know Joy's new partner, some guy named Davos, and then he was like, oh, okay, so now we know, you know, those two, Danny and Ward, they know that Joy and Davos are working together on something. They don't know what, but at least it's like, okay, cool, so now we know that, like, as a group, okay, they all know Davos, they all know each other. I like what you said, right? This is bringing them together. I feel like they could have done more. Like, it really was It's a character building episode.
Yeah, I don't consider it filler because it's important, but it's definitely more play setting than anything else.
Yeah, yeah. Not much happened. Like, there was an action fight at the end of the episode because they needed one.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like there were. I see what they were doing. I feel like there were better ways to do it.
Hopefully,
granted,
next...
I'm not a writer, so I'm not. I can't. So, but, yeah.
Hopefully, next time it's better. As all you listeners join us next time as we cover Iron Fist Season 1, Episode 4. Target Iron Fist. That sounds more exciting. And remember to follow us on Twitter and give us that five, not just Twitter, all those social medias I said earlier. Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, TikTok, even though we haven't posted anything there, and I doubt we ever will. And give us that 5-star rating and leave us a review. And what kind of voice you want us to read the review in. As always, this is the Marvel Cinematic Rewind signing off. Have a marvelous day.